Hallelujah. Happy Palm Sunday. And I made a few statements earlier and about Palm Sunday. But one of the most sobering aspects of Palm Sunday is how quickly the crowd changed. It's almost like a Sunday thing where they're praising God, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. And then on Friday, they're saying crucify him. Same crowd, same people. The thought, and Hosanna, that's a fulfillment of Zephaniah chapter 9, verse 9, when it said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. You know, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna. It means they received him as Messiah. Oh, how quickly they forget. When they hear a word of suspicion, when they hear an accusation, Paul told the Corinthians, never receive an accusation. Or he told this to Timothy, never receive an accusation against an elder. Refute it. Stop it. Not unless, sowing and reaping. You accuse, you're going to get accused. You want to stop those accusations, then stand against them and raise up a standard of righteousness and say, watch your mouth. Like death and life are in the power of the tongue. You know, I used to quote that verse saying, the power of the tongue, there's life and death, and there's the power of life and death is in the tongue, and that's not what it says. Death and life have the power that your tongue gives it. Life, death and life are in the power of the tongue. The tongue forms the words that carry life, that carry death. Without your words, life or death can't. Those forces of life and death have no vent. They have no expression. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, Toby Mac wrote that song, Speak Life. Speak Life. Remember that? Powerful song. Speak Life. If you have an opportunity to speak either death or life, what are you going to choose? But how quickly things change. Amen. What was that line that you? It's in the drama just now that we tend to speak what we listen to the most. Yeah, echo. Praise God. Well, everything going to the cross and the final victory of Jesus was set in motion by Palm Sunday. And it's a sobering lesson that we learn there. It's a fulfillment of prophecy. It's also a public declaration of Jesus as Messiah when they said, Hosanna. Psalm 118, verse 26 says, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Palm branches also represented victory and triumph. And also in Israel, it also signified national victory when they won wars. It was a significant thing. Well, here we are. We're studying hearing. Are you hearing or listening? You know, when you hear things, you can just turn away from it. But when you listen, your heart grabs it. One thing we need to understand about listening is that listening is really an art. It needs a foundational understanding. It needs practice, practice, practice. This is what my wife tells me all the time. How about you guys? You guys ever get that? He said no. Phil said no. Phil.
I'm well trained,
okay. Well, like I said, listening is an art, and it requires foundation, development, and so forth. Practice, practice, practice. And with me, I don't know, many things with me, it's like water dripping on a stone. After a while, it makes a dent. But But one thing you got to understand, you got to start right. God gave us two ears to begin with. He might as well just use them the way he meant them to be used, right? To open up and see, you can filter out what. Where's Noah? Is he still? What Noah says, so he filters stuff out. Or you can funnel stuff in. You see, ears, we're not just talking about the ears here. We're talking about heart. Because your heart uses your ears to either filter things out or to funnel things in. Funnel in the Word of God. Funnel it in, because faith comes by hearing, right? Faith comes by hearing and hearing. That word hearing is the word akouo. Akouo, it's where we get the word echo from. You know, I wrote a song probably 10 years ago. It said, it goes like this. Someone told me long ago, if there's hope, I'd find it in you. And one day, how does it go? And one day, I came with an open heart to see if it was true. And right there on my knees, I had a sense of peace. And those words I'd heard so long ago were echoing in me. Come to me, all you who labor. Come to me, I'll give you rest. Come to me, lay down your burden. You can't carry it yourself. Don't filter those words out. Funnel them in. Let your heart just reach up and grab them. Praise God. So we're not just talking about ears here. Matthew 13 and verse 15 goes like this. The heart and the ear are connected. It says, for this people, this is Jesus speaking, this people's heart is waxed gross. Well, we have different meanings of words now, but that means that they became fat and lazy. Basically is what that means. This heart is waxed gross. They were just tuning things out that they didn't want to hear. Everything became, the synagogue and the so forth, became rote to them. It became nothing more than religion. They could take you or leave you and then get back to the real world the next day. But he said, this people's heart is waxed gross and their ears are dull of hearing. Why are their ears dull of hearing? Because their heart is waxed gross. It's rejecting truth. It's welcoming the compromise, the lies, the deception. It welcomes that. It's got in a place where it's intrigued by it. This people's heart is waxed, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed. Did God close their eyes? Did God put a veil over their heart? No. They closed their eyes. Lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I'd heal them. God needs your ears to listen. He needs your heart to listen if he's going to bring his will to pass in your life, and his will is healing. Amen. His will is restoration, reconciliation, all the redemptive benefits, blessings, promises, and provisions of the New Testament bought by that blood. And every time you stand on a promise and you are believing God for a promise, you are honoring the blood that bought that promise and made it a reality. Amen. Every single time. Well, I wouldn't want to be selfish and believe God for that. That's an insult to God. And that is demeaning the blood that bought that for you. You need to understand something. You need to look at it through the eyes of God. He came down to see the world through eyes just like yours. He knows how you see things. He knows, and he has the words to correct the way you see it so you don't close your eyes. He has the way to engineer his word so that you hear it, hearing it. You listen, listening. Praise God. God needs our ears to be open. He needs our heart to be open. He needs the connection made between your ears and your heart. And you need to ask him for wisdom. You know, his will is to give you the wisdom of Solomon. He is literally handing them doors, open doors to the kingdom of God on a golden platter, and they're too busy to listen to him. Here he is speaking to them, bringing the reality of his power, kingdom glory. But you know what? We tend to dull these words a lot by the way we use them. Glory to God. You know what the glory of God is? It has to be shrouded in a cloud, because if you saw it, your body would expire like that. It is the manifest presence of his excellence. That's the glory of God. Kenneth Hagin used to see that cloud all the time. He'd start preaching and that cloud would start rolling in from the back and people would start falling all over the place. The glory of God. God, that's God's will. He wants us to bask in his glory. And sometimes you'll start falling down and everything right in his lap where he wants you. Praise God. Listening. Listening is a progressive talent, a progressive revelation of how we relate and fellowship with others and how we fellowship with God. It is a progressive revelation. It unfolds a little at a time as you're able to bear it, as you're able to understand it and walk in it. God just doesn't give you the end first. No, he gives you he takes you from A to A and a half to B. You say, well, why waste all that time? Why not just, that was me, because I'm destination oriented. Lori is more like, let's just drive slow and enjoy the ride. And I listen to her about 10% of the time. I mean, I'm improving. It's a revelation of how to fellowship with God, because God has more to speak to you than you have to say to him. Although he does really enjoy hearing from you, even if you're confused, even if you're hurting, even whatever. You see in the Psalms how David was pouring out his pain and his agony and his frustration to God? In fact, there was one time he said, "Are you there?" It's in the Psalms. "Are you there?" It's like, "No, I'm not here." This is how ridiculous we can get sometimes. But it's a revelation of the Spirit. Listening is a revelation of the Spirit. And when you hear, because here's the thing. Unless you're ready to hear from God and do it, you're not going to do anything. You're not going to hear anything. You're too busy letting your mind talk, letting your desires talk, letting your plans and whatever, where you're heading, your goals in life, you're letting them speak louder than God. Right. But if you ever wonder, Abraham, God said go, and he went, pshew. Where did he get that kind of faith? You ever wonder that? Well, how does faith come? Did you know that when Noah died, Abraham was 50 years old? And they were both, since he left Ur of Chaldees and settled in Haran, they were really in the same area. He probably heard Noah, the preacher of righteousness, it says. 2 Peter 2, 5, I think it is. It says that he was a preacher of righteousness. And I'll bet Abraham heard him enough to get all inspired and ready to do whatever God said. And then when the word of God came, God sets the table. I mean, these answers are right in front of us all the time. Just let the Bible interpret itself and you'll see what the answers are. So he'd probably been listening to Noah and faith came. And so the word of God said, "Abraham, I want you to leave and go to a place that I'll show you." Could you imagine being his wife? Where? Abraham, you're not, what? I'm sure. He heard from God, maybe she didn't. Or maybe she did, and she just came along too. But God called them to go to the land. That's where he got his faith from. Where did Noah get his from? I mean, it's got to start somewhere. Well, he got his from Enoch. In fact, the books of Enoch were given, passed down to Noah, and they were preserved in the flood in that ark. That's how we have them today. Thank God for it. It's all so very simple, and the answers are so much closer than we think if we are listening. You know, God told that to Moses. I can't remember where it is, but he said, listen, listening. And Moses did too. He was a great listener. You know, Jesus was a good listener too. He would ask people questions and he would listen to them. You know, many people ask questions in order to get their answer in. And they're loading their pistols behind their back here and ready to just and feed you with a fire hose. No, it doesn't go like that. It's all peaceable, orderly, kindness, gentleness. These are fruits of the Spirit. And he'll sit down with, how was he with the children? They said, get the children out of here. He said, whoa. He said, of such is the kingdom of God. Yep. Have the faith of a little child. You know, they don't have 40 years of unbelief to work through before they finally understand things. No, they hear it and they believe it. And this is what they're getting in the little, they're getting the same thing as a big service here. Which means you got to watch out because they're learning how to believe God.
Yeah.
And when they believe God and they hear you say, well, we need a new refrigerator, well, or a new something or other or whatever, and they'll go ahead and believe God for it, and then you've got to find a place for it. So just be ready. Two ears, one mouth. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 5. This should put some sobriety in our step. Because here, one thing is, when we are talking about God, there is a certain amount of honor, respect, and reverence, and he deserves it. Nobody else paid the price he did. He paid the greatest price that was ever paid for anything at any time, anywhere. For you. For me. I used to think that, you know, nobody here is perfect except for me. Then the spirit of wisdom and revelation just dawned and came and started showing me. And I was undone. Praise God. Do you see what God puts up with? What he's willing to be a dad with? Us? Why would he withhold anything? I mean, he could have fried us like a like a crispy critter. But he chose to love us, and he's always the same. He never changes. Ecclesiastes 5, verse 1 says, keep your foot when you come into the house of God. That means be careful how you walk before God. And be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, because they consider not that they do evil. Thoughtlessness, insensitivity, things like that before God is evil. When you understand what he has to give, what he has to impart to you, what he has, the understanding he wants to give you and so forth, you can't just walk into his presence glibly and start rattling off Christianese cute little phrases like you put on the refrigerator. Because you're not a refrigerator. I like what Dwight says. We need to be a living billboard for the goodness, and the glory of God. Praise God. They consider not that they do evil. Thank God for his mercy. You know what I mean? And he's in verse 2, it says, be not rash with your mouth. That means thoughtless, careless. With your mouth. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. That drama this morning, you nailed it. You nailed it. Not rash with your mouth. My mother used to wash our mouth out with soap. Did you guys ever get that? I deserved it too. I mean, she got it down to a razor fine edge. She really did. It became an art. And I used to start running away. But you know what? It's a really good thing that she did that, because, you know, the Bible says, if you can keep your mouth, you can bridle your whole body. Think about that. Bridle your whole body with the word of God. Speak life to your body. Speak health. Speak how blessed your body is. How, you know, because look. Man was formed out of the soil of the earth, right? Your body was formed out of dirt. the dust of the earth, the soil of the earth. And words are seed. So when you speak to your body the blessing of God, you are putting seed into something that was made out of the ground, and it will reproduce after its own kind. Your body was made to reproduce the word of God. Your body was to, it was built to receive what is God's, so that he can bring his will to pass in your life and give you health. Anita, how old are you? You're never too.
I'm 89, I'll be 90.
You'll be 90. She's putting me to shame. See what I mean? And she speaks the word. But none of us can really boast that we do that really perfectly. Can't do we? Can you? Let me ask you this. How many of you can say, and raising of hands here, how many of you can say that you never got in trouble over some word you said? Hands? Praise God, you're all honest. God's proud of you. God loves you. How many of you have seen it happen when somebody got into trouble over what they had said? Okay. So then there's accusers of the brethren here too. No, you just witnessed it. You saw what happened. And how many of us really wish we didn't say something that we did say? Okay, the altar is right here, Leah.
Yes, yeah. I'll be there.
Or here's a good one. How many of you can say that you have spoken too soon before you heard the whole thing, and you just wanted to get your 2 cents in any before you? Do you know what the Bible says? I think it's Proverbs 18 verse 13, the same chapter of death and life, or in the power, is. He who answers a matter before he hears it, to him it is shame and folly. You know, wait for the whole thing to get on the table before you start setting it out right. And then consider yourself, too, to see what's wrong in your life that you might be able to say. You know, that splinter in the eye thing? Remember that? And you got a beam in your own? Glaring issues, and then you want to correct everybody else's. Do we have glaring issues? Whenever God speaks to us, whenever he gives us his word, he gave us this whole thing just for our benefit, to bring us benefit and prosperity into our life over every problem, to give us an advantage, to give us an upper hand, to profit us. But it says that the word of God did not profit them who didn't believe. So what does that mean? What's the one thing you have to do? Believe it. Believe it. Believe it. Praise God. You know, in here is when Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. The words, both in Hebrew and in Greek, the word hear means the same as to hear and obey. They kind of pointed that out in the drama today too. Hear and obey. There's no difference. It means to listen, listening. That's what it means. He has ears to hear, let him hear. You know, they all had ears. They all had these right here. They had those, all of them. But he said, he who has ears to hear or to listen. In fact, I wrote this down. Both in the Hebrew and Greek, listening is inseparable from obedience. To truly hear God, as far as Scripture is concerned, is to respond, submit, and act. Man, that's all of us. We got to do that. When I'm preaching to you, I'm preaching to me too. You know, there are warnings about not listening to God too. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9, it says, he that turns his ear away from hearing the law or the word of God, even his prayer shall be an abomination. Don't turn your ear away from God when he's talking to you. Not wise. Zechariah 7, verses 11 and 12. It says, but they refused to hearken and pulled away the shoulder and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Did God do that to them? No, it says they made their hearts as an adamant stone lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. See, they didn't have any protection under the old covenant against that. We do now. We do now because the blood speaks of better things than Abel. Abel spoke, his blood spoke vengeance. The blood of Jesus speaks mercy. Where is it? It's poured out on the mercy seat of heaven. It's in God's face every single second. And all he sees, when he sees you, he sees, you know what comes out of his mouth when he sees you? Jesus. Jesus. Because he is the firstborn of many brethren. And you are hooked with him, hip to hip, heart to heart. You are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. And as far as God's concerned, that's it. You are his son. Let that just sink down into your ears for a minute. And let God just blow any condemnation or guilt right out of your life. Because it shouldn't be there. It's illegal for it to be there. Surely he has borne our guilt. Surely. Then we got Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 through 27. Therefore, he says, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, hear and do, ready to go. God spoke to Abram. Go. He went. God spoke to Noah. Build the ark. He did. God spoke. They did. God spoke to Elijah. Go to Zarephath. He said, go to the brook Kidron. He did. And always, 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 God met them with his provision. Yeah, I bet he even had angels carry some of that wood over to Noah's house for the ark. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving yourself, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house on a rock. And the rains descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. When you hear the word and do it, you are building your life on the most solid thing that can be that there is, the rock of the Word of God. That's where he will meet you all the time according to his word. And if you build your life, if all your decisions that you make come out of what he said, you are building on a rock that cannot be moved. And whatever you build on that rock, it will withstand the rains that descend, the floods that come, the winds that blow. You know, the winds, let the wind blow, man. God will stand up in your situation and he will deliver you every single time. Every time. There is no exceptions to this. Verse 26, now here's the warning. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened. Now this is really different than verse 24. Let's go back to verse 24. Therefore, whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him. In other words, he identifies with those who identify with him. He identifies those who hear his word and does it. Because the word, I just got a download. The word is God. I will liken him. Now go to verse 26. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them, he left the I will out here. He says, they shall be likened unto a foolish man. In other words, you do your life your way. You're walking away from him. He has no legal right to help you. He just can't do it. He doesn't honor that. But he does honor the blood. He honors his word. He honors those who obey him. He honors it. And everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a fool, a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rains descended, floods came, and the wind blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Do you know that's how he ended the Sermon on the Mount? That's how it ends? Great was the fall of it. Man, that's a barn burner right there, isn't it? That's a way to get the attention of people. What are you going to do? What does that leave in your lap? A decision to either hear and do the word or to do it your own way. To want vengeance rather than mercy. To want grace. To want to demand judgment on them when you want grace for you. Aren't we all in the same boat, really? Do you have any right to judge anybody else? You better not, because the safety catch is that if you don't judge, you won't be judged. But if you do judge, you will be judged. Are we all guilty of judging? Yeah, it's going on rampantly. All over the church, and that these things shouldn't be so. They shouldn't be so. When you hear the word of God, are you going to hear with your heart and ready to go? Are you hear it listening with a ready heart? Are you taking it and letting it correct you? Like Noah said, yeah, sometimes God is like background music to me. Let the word of God correct you. That's why the Bible came to us. For the word of God is profitable. It's profitable for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We need instruction in righteousness at every turn. What's the righteous thing to do in this situation? What's the godly thing to do? What is the word thing to do in this situation, this very situation right now? What would Jesus do? Don't just wear that on your wrist unless you want to look at it and let it change your decision-making processes. How about that? I am not a lot of chandelier swinging on this one. You can see we're really, really getting in our grill today, huh? But that's what the Word of God is supposed to do, to correct us, instruct us in righteousness. We need to act on it. When Jesus was 12 years old, his parents found him in the temple. And you know what it says he did? When they found him, they saw him sitting in the midst of the doctors. These are doctors of the law. These are the most incredible theological minds on the planet right now, or right then. Sitting in the midst of the doctors, both hearing them and asking questions. If you want a reference, that's Luke chapter 2, verse 46. Hearing and asking questions. And if anybody could have instructed them, it would have been Jesus. But he was very respectful. He was asking them questions. He was listening first. Then he was asking questions. Do you know how many questions he asked the Pharisees when he was correcting them? You know those questions I was asking, do you know anybody or have you ever, you know? Do you notice how I was asking, I was getting the point across by asking questions. You can do the same thing. When you're in a situation, it's a lot softer to ask a question and let them realize what's going on. Let them come to an understanding. Because you can't correct people. You can't. The Word of God can, if they're open to truth. But you can't. I mean, you turn on the news and see these people going back and forth. I mean, nowadays, all you got to do is go to on the and see Congress and see them shouting over each other. Nobody's getting anywhere. They can't correct each other. And even, they're not going to listen to each other. They're not going to hear it. They got their own thing to do. Don't be like that. Be soft and pliable. Listen, listening, because your heart needs what you're hearing. Amen. Praise God. The love of God is endless. It's just endless. And he will work with you as long as you work with him. You give him legal right to do anything. He will come to your side and he will exalt you in that thing. Praise God. Father, I just thank you for your word. Thank you for listening to our hearts and knowing, assessing our needs. And like Dwight said, that our needs will convert into provision, protection, restoration, reconciliation. That's always the best. He paid a price in order to do that. All he needs us is to comply with it. In the worst situations, Lori and I have seen some of the worst situations get solved. Scott, how many years ago was that diagnosis for you? 40? 41 years ago, diagnosed with leukemia. He wouldn't let it go. He just would not let the Word of God go. I'd say the devil was pretty well crippled in that situation, wouldn't you? Well, is God a respecter of persons? If he did it for one, why wouldn't he do it for all? Open your heart. Listen to God. Don't listen to your body. Don't listen to your body. Your body is not a dictator to you. You are a dictator to it. It was created to respond to the Word of God. It was created to respond to your faith. Your body is a responder to the Word of God. It was made of soil. It cannot not hear the Word of God. The seeds of life and healing and blessing, comfort. Lord, let this word settle down. Let it grow deep roots. Produce a powerful tree of righteousness inside of us, that we exalt nothing but your righteousness inside of us. Then the devil can't lay a hand on us. Praise God. And we're going to take this into this week, and we are going to celebrate the triumph that Jesus won for us, the victory that he won for us, and the liberating power of his Spirit and the Spirit of truth. Amen. God bless you.